Hello, everyone. Good morning. I hope everyone is well today. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and I welcome you to the Spin It Social Hour. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with everyone today. I am a social media and visual strategist and a former photo editor at the New York Times. I am also a social media and visual consultant who has worked with the Pulitzer Prizes, AARP, the Jackson Charitable Foundation, and I've also been a coach and speaker at many schools, colleges, and universities, including Princeton, NYU, Montclair State, and Hofstra University. And lately, it has been an absolute pleasure to be an adjunct professor at FIT, which I started this past semester. An honor. So, the Spin It Social Hour is a labor of love born out of care and concern for our photo community. When this pandemic hit, I found it inside of myself to think about this deeply, and I wanted to come up with a way to help photographers out there everywhere. And I wanted them to tell their stories, and I wanted to be able to show you their work so that when this pandemic subsides and hopefully goes away, that they will be in a better position to be able to get their work out there and you give them more business. So it is an absolute pleasure once again to be here. I am bringing on as a professor at FIT, an adjunct professor, five of my students today from the School of Art and Design. They're all photography majors and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. So a quick shout outs right away to three people I wanted to give shout outs to. Emilio Pardo, who is a VP of branding out there, formerly with AARP and Jackson. And I wanted to thank Emilio for sponsoring this show and being a guiding light in my life. I wanted to also give a quick shout out to Dr. Christine Whalen from the University of Madison, Wisconsin School of Human Ecology, a big supporter of mine. And as always, and a congratulations to Dana Kennedy, the administrator of the Pulitzer Prizes, who is now the new publisher of Simon & Schuster. I wanted to say congratulations. Dana is amazing. And it's been an honor to work with the Pulitzer Prizes for 3 years in a row. So to give the students that we are here with today the buildup that they deserve, I created a slideshow for them. So I want you to enjoy that. And I'm going to put that on right now. Layla Ann Marie Stevens is a portrait documentary photographer who utilizes personal narrative to empower youth and LGBTQ communities. Israeli-born Adam Shemesh's photography for the past 10 years ranges from documentary to music to portraiture. Jacqueline Valente's mission is to cultivate images that tell a story using elements of multiple media such as paint, makeup, and collages. Joshua Vilas has developed a portfolio in fine art, portrait, architecture, and studio photography. Logan Poe is based out of Brooklyn. Known for his work in the streetwear and music industry, Logan boasts a wide array of big name clients. Wow. I am absolutely honored to have each one of them here today. So we're going to bring them on one by one for that wonderful buildup that they deserve once again. Let's welcome Layla Stevens. Let's welcome Adam Shemesh.
Harshemesh.
Yes, Harshemesh. Excuse me, Adam. Let's bring on Jacqueline Valente. Let's bring on Logan Poe. And let's bring on Joshua Vilas.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. How is everybody today? And how is everybody doing?
Good.
As good as can be.
Okay, we'll go one by one to make it easy and fair. Layla, how are you doing today? And how are things going? Good?
I'm feeling great. Doing great.
Good, good. Adam?
As good as can be, yeah.
Okay, I know this has been a rough stretch of time, and we're going to talk about that a little. Joshua?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
Good, good. Wonderful to see you. Logan?
I'm doing good.
Okay. And Jackie?
I'm good.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Jackie did her hair special for us today. I know that for a fact. She's looking gorgeous and glamorous. So Anyway, wonderful to have you all here. It was an honor to be your professor this past semester and teaching the fundamentals of social media at FIT. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But today we're here to highlight your work and have you talk about your stories. So we're going to get right to it because we have a lot to cover and we have a lot of people watching already. Please, everybody, why don't we all mute our mics until I bring each one of you, you know, on for your segment, just because right this second I'm getting a lot of back noise from someone. Sorry, folks, we're going to try something out here just so we clear up the line. Give me 1 second. Okay. All right. So one of the things, just everybody can hear me, right? Raise your hand just like in class. Okay, here we go. So one of the things that I want to get to right away is after showing your work at the beginning is right here, this question right here. Everyone, the future is so unpredictable right now, but where do you hope to see yourself after graduation? And has the pandemic changed how you are thinking about what might come next for you? I'm going to leave that question up, and we're going to go one by one here, and we're going to let Layla chime in first. I think everybody can take themselves off mute now. I think the noise, I know where it's coming from, so we'll fix that. So, Layla, tell us the future right now and where you hope to be, and how has this all affected you and how you view going forward?
I think I view the future a little bit more clear. I think this time has allowed me to really reflect on what's important to me. Mm-hmm. So I think after graduation, I see myself working in some sort of educational section of an art museum institution, particularly with youth. It hasn't changed at all. I think all my thoughts about the future, I've always been passionate about youth's artistic expression because I've personally grown up in programs like that. So I don't view the future any different, just a little bit more clear.
Okay. Well, I think that's really, really important. I think the pandemic has given a lot of people a new perspective. It doesn't always have to be negative. It is a tough time. We are concerned about everybody. Our thoughts are with everyone, but it's also a time to experiment. It's a time to learn, and it's a time to do things too, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I felt that from you guys this semester, and it was wonderful. It really was. So, Adam, same question to you, sir. I'll put that up there for you real quick, just as a refresher. Just 1 sec. We're going to.
Oh, no, it's fine. I have the question here in front of me.
Okay. So we'll take that off then. I'm sorry, Jonathan. Jonathan is behind the scenes driving a car, and I was doubling up there on him. Apologies. Adam, go ahead. Please tell us your thoughts on this.
Well, the pandemic is also, it kind of made me realize a lot of stuff that I've just been putting off in the last few years that I've been here in the States. Mm-hmm. And just, it's been motivating me to actually, to go forward and start, building upon future plans that I had. For example, I have plans to open a photography studio that doubles as a recording studio with a good friend of mine that I met at the school, Ronnie Brown. And basically, we want to give an outlet and a recording opportunity for up and coming music artists, okay. and also provide them with promotional photography and video work for music clips and the such.
Okay, that's wonderful. See, I love this. We're getting productivity out of this. Our creative juices are flowing. You guys have inspired me in many ways, getting to know you and looking at all your work over the semester. I needed that during this time. It's a shot of inspiration. I want you all to know that you have inspired me. And, I'm thankful for that. Although also we should go over while we're at it. Let's start with Layla's Instagram. On Instagram, it's Layla Ann Marie. So follow her on Instagram, everybody. We're also showing the FIT Instagrams there. But Adam is Adam. I love Adam's Adam to kill for. You know, he is there and live and alive. And so, Joshua, we're going to get to you now. Oh, Marilyn, Professor Marilyn Zayford is watching from FIT. Good morning, Professor Zayford, my good friend Marilyn, who had a lot to do with bringing me into FIT, almost everything to do. Big shout out to Professor Zayford. So, Joshua, tell us, how does that question resonate with you? And tell us your thoughts about that.
Well, the future, my future plans hasn't really changed much since the pandemic. Like, after I graduate, I still want to have myself founded as a freelance photographer. Mm-hmm. And, like, hopefully by then I have a nice client base underneath me just to keep a constant inflow of jobs.
Okay.
However, though, the pandemic has, like, made me look into ways to make money that's exactly recession-proof or, like, isn't so reliant on the fact that the world has to be moving. So I've been kind of taking a shot in day trading, but that's been...
Wow.
Yeah, but that's been... I'm learning. Like, I've been losing more money than I've been making so far, but it's
fun. Be careful with that. I'm not a day trader. I'm not a financial guy. I'm a creative guy, but go easy with that. Just a word of advice from somebody who's older.
No way.
And experience. But well, that's good. And in terms of your creativity with everything, I mean, you know, I know you've been keeping busy with that. I saw you worked on your website a lot and other things.
Okay. Yeah, just trying to keep myself busy. And then because I found out what really, I guess, allows you to go further as a photographer is just trying and going out shooting more. So I'm just trying to really focus on like making content. And
right. Good. Good. Yes. You know, we wear our masks. We go out. We can do our photography. Be careful. Wash our hands when we come home. This isn't even being a parent. This is just common sense. So, and what we have to do to help each other and protect each other, as we know. So, Logan, what's cooking and how is everything with, you know, what are your thoughts about this in terms of that question about, let me put it up there again for you if you need it in case. You know, about the future and where do you see yourself in the future and how is the pandemic, you know, changed your thoughts or inspired you with creativity? Talk to us. Logan?
So I guess I'm going to go backwards and ask the question. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we're good.
So the pandemic inspired me. You're good? Okay, sweet. The pandemic inspired me in a lot of different ways. I was working on a book about isolation, beforehand, and being forced into sort of like isolation period where I was like, I can only focus on my work. I can only focus on my book and everything that really helps drive the process of that book along. So now it's like in the final stages right now, and it'll be released hopefully from the next month. So that's pretty cool.
I think just speak
graduation
up.
Graduation and everything.
Speak up. Logan, speak up. Hold on. Speak up just a bit.
Speak up.
Just a bit.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I think after graduation, I will most likely continue to run my brand in New York. It's a concept design studio that I have in Ridgewood, Queens. We focus on working like a photography studio as well as a brand, some sort. I can run that and keep on like pushing that brand as well as like my own photography with commercial clients like Nike, Puma, Adidas.
Yeah.
Different clients like hopefully automotive clients like Jeep and Ford in the coming future.
Okay, well, your work has been excellent, like everybody's here, and it's wonderful to have you here, and thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. We'll come back in 1 second. Jacqueline, talk to us about your question. Tell us your thoughts and your vision towards your future as we progress.
Well, going into FIT, I was quite confident in the fact that I wanted to do concert photography. The quarantine has definitely made me reconsider that, given I don't know what the future of concert photography really is right now. I don't know when we'll be seeing concerts again. Hopefully not soon, though, like the Chainsmokers concert that happened like a week ago. But yeah, I've been picking up a bunch of different hobbies, like playing guitar, crocheting, like embroidery. Like, I've just been doing any arts and craft thing, and just new things, a whole bunch of new things. So I think that as far as my future now, I definitely am trying to build my clientele so I can be a freelance photographer, but I am interested in working for publications like Vice, or really anything. I just love creating, so I want to delve into multiple different types of photography as I go on. I'm not really 100% sure on what exactly that means for me yet.
Okay, okay. Well, I want everybody to know, thank you so much for sharing that. I wanted everybody to share their thoughts on that question. One of the things I want to tell everybody, folks, we're watching five great FIT students from the School of Art and Design, all photography majors, and we're talking to them about photography and social media, and we're getting to know them. You're going to get to know their work, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful discussion as we continue on here. Marilyn says, Seth Godin said, a photographer doesn't take pictures. A photographer tells stories. What stories are you telling? Okay. You know what? Why don't we take a question from Professor Zayford about that? And let's start with Layla with a an answer on that one. Layla, what do you feel your stories are telling?
Sure. So usually when I go into photo shoots, I always have a concept and a particular person that I want to interview or photograph. So if they come from a special identity or they come from a special family that they want to share with me, I'll always include that within the pictures that I photograph, either if it's in the caption or in the description on my website. I always try to tell their story because that's important. I think you shouldn't just view your models and your subjects as subjects. They are people as well, and their voices and their stories deserve to be told. So I always keep that in mind. And mostly they're women and young people and young LGBTQ folks in New York City, particularly.
Okay. And that I'm so thankful to be able to share all this with the world right now and have you talk about what your images and what your work means to you. Adam, to you, sir. How do you view that your image is telling a story and you know, that question that Professor Zayford asked?
Well, a lot of my inspiration, my personal inspiration, comes from a lot of pop culture. I grew up watching a lot of movies and old TV shows, taking a lot of big interest in sci-fi and dramas. And basically, If I'm not shooting a music concert or a show where I'm telling the story of a character or telling the story of the performer, I try to tell the story of something that everyone can relate to, be it a movie character that they saw somewhere or someone going through a certain struggle that anyone can relate to. So my stories very much change, whether depending on if it's the personal story of who I'm shooting or the story of a character that I want to give a shout out to.
Okay. That is really, really interesting and really good to know that a lot of it's been influenced by cinema and, you know, and film and other things too. So thank you for sharing that. Joshua?
Okay. Yeah. So when I'm photographing, typically the story I tell depends on what kind of photo. Typically when it comes to portraits, I like telling the other person's story, mainly because it's a photo of them. So I feel like whatever they're thinking, their feelings, what emotions they want to put through the frame is what's more important. When it comes to photographs that are a bit more abstract, like not person-oriented, I try to tell my story. Maybe it could be like just a vignette of something in my life or a mental state. But it's either very oriented around the subject or it's oriented around the subject.
Yeah, no, I find that to be very true when I walk the streets all the time. I mean, a lot of it depends on my mood. You know, I find things to photograph depending on my mood a lot of the time. It's not always just about what my eye catches. If I'm in a certain mood, I may look at things differently, right? So that's very, very interesting to know and very good to know. Logan, a photographer doesn't take pictures. A photographer tells stories. What stories are you telling, Logan, with your photos? Logan? Logan, you might want to refresh your screen and come back in if you can't hear me.
Refresh that screen and come again? Is everything okay? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, but your image is totally frozen. So why don't you try hitting return and coming back into the studio because you're totally frozen.
Okay,
so come back into the studio. Let's try that. And everyone, we will be taking more comments and questions in about 10 minutes at the half or 10:30 to 10:45 mark. So we will get to a lot of comments and questions throughout the show, but also we'll take a break and do a lot of those as well. So just know. Jackie, why don't you go ahead with that question for now while Logan's re-entering the studio?
Yeah, sure. So I would say I would separate my work into about two parts. I would say that half of the work that I do is kind of fantasy based. So when I go into the studio or when I go into a shoot, I conceptualize it heavily. I add elements that might be, you know, something that couldn't possibly happen, or I'll paint a lot on my face to make me look like a demon. Like, I just do crazy stuff to myself and to my subjects. Mm-hmm. To tell a fantasy story. But on the other end, I would say that I take photos of people like using a really big lens up close. Like, I'll just sit in the park and take photos of people's faces and get their expressions. Okay. And if I'm taking photos of my family, I like to capture the moment and the expression within the photo, and I let that speak for itself within the photo, and whoever can resonate to it, they can see the connection that's in the photo.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big people watcher myself, and I've always loved to walk around the streets. I grew up in Greenwich Village and living in the village for many, many years before moving upstate here, up north. And I have to tell you, I love people watching. I love sitting there. So I feel you on that one, and it's a great thing. So, well, thank you for your thoughts on that. So one of the things I'm going to do while we're waiting for Logan to come back in is why don't we see if we have any more comments and questions real quick before we bring up a slideshow of each of your work that we're going to go through. Marilyn says, wonderful. Let's take some comments here. Oh, Logan just popped in. So let's give Logan his shot if he is able to log back in. There he is. Okay. Hi, Logan. You good now? Yep. Yep, you're good now. Okay.
Hello. I'm good now?
All right, hi. Yeah, so why don't we get to that question that a photographer doesn't take pictures, but a photographer tells stories. What stories are you telling, Logan, when you're taking your photos?
So it depends. I have a lot of different things I do. I'm a filmmaker as well as a photographer. But in my photography, I try to tell the stories of what's happening around me as well as ones that as well as personal stories that relate to me through my pictures. So, for instance, events that are happening around me, like the first example, when the protests first started, the first thing I did was I headed straight to Harlem to where one of the protests was starting. We started off as a very organized protest and ended up becoming a march that went from all the way on 125th Street all the way down to West 4th Street. And okay. I documented the entire march. I was on the front lines.
Logan, speak up a little more again. I'm sorry.
If this is Mike, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. So, we just want everybody to hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great without them, I think.
Oh, you hear me without them?
Yeah.
Do you want me to take off my earbuds or?
If you can. I mean, you sound much better. You're not getting any clicking and stuff.
Like this?
Go ahead. Tell a story, please.
Damn it.
Yeah.
So you can hear me like this?
Right, yes. Cool. Yes.
One thing that I was. Sweet.
Sorry, everybody. We're just trying to get Logan clear here.
When the protests first started in New York City.
Okay. We're going to have to go back. It seemed like you were, but put the earbuds back in. Sorry, bud. Sorry. Put them back in.
What's up?
Put the earbuds back in, Logan. I'm trying to get you set up so you can tell your story well. I apologize for the communication problems, folks. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. Yes, go ahead now. Go ahead. Tell your story, Logan. Go ahead. Go ahead. You got it.
All right, sweet. So I'm on the protest with George Floyd. When the George Floyd protests first started here in New York, one thing I did was I headed straight to Harlem by my sister's house around 125th Street. There was an organized protest that became an unorganized protest very quickly. We ended up marching to the many of the like police centers around Harlem and around Midtown Manhattan. They ended up shutting down on the highways, and I was able to document all of that. A lot of the protesters got arrested randomly for just protesting. So I was able to capture a lot of that. I went down to Atlanta for a client shoot, and I was able to, I can't remember his name, Mr. Brooks. I think his name was Mr. Brooks. When he got shot at the Wendy's down in Atlanta, I actually was staying in an Airbnb that was down the street from that Wendy's. And when I was photographing those and documenting those events. I've just been photographing a lot of the political climate around the United States while this is all been going on.
Okay.
And then personal story wise, what I'm saying my own personal story is one thing I've been doing is like I have a VSCO series right now on my VSCO, because that's my main photography platform where I share my work. I've done this thing where I just take small parts of my life and I photograph them and project them onto a model or someone else. So I did this one photo shoot recently called Small Escapes, which is like a small photo series about a woman, like an artist, goes to the beach and just like has a nice selection day to escape the rut of New York City. She goes to Rockaway Beach, which is on like the far east coast of New York, and that's something that I do every Sunday. So that's like one way I try to tell stories through my work. But okay. I'm also working on a book, as I said earlier, which is like called Isolation, which is like my mental journey. It's my own mental journey through like autophobia and isolation, like learning how to navigate like different mental illnesses and everything. And that book's gonna be released sometime in August.
Okay, wow, you are a busy man.
Yeah, I use a lot of different storytelling methods in my work, but yeah.
Repeat that last line, please. Yeah. Repeat that last line, Logan.
I just tell stories in different ways. They're like there are many different ways. I don't know. It's this different case, I guess.
Okay.
I don't remember what I exactly said, but yeah.
Okay. Well, Edward here. Thank you, Logan. Thank you. Edward here asks, every generation has a moment in time that tests and defines their future. We have seen this in the World War II generation. In the age of COVID-19, where do all of you see yourselves in the decades ahead as mentors and photographers, the impact of our times on your thinking and creativity? Well, I think that kind of morphed into that previous question that we talked about the future and everything else. So, you know, but Edward put it in a different way in some historical context. So thank you, Edward, for that. Edward's a big fan of the show and a big supporter of the show. One of the things I want to get to right away is I want to start going over some of your work, and let's get to that because that's what also people are here to see. So we're going to share the screen here, and we're going to start with Layla, and we're going to go right here, and we're going to fix that up so it looks real pretty, and we are going to go through some of this work here. So here we go. Layla, talk to us about this photo and some of your work that we're going to show in a few photos here.
Okay, sure. This is a self-portrait. I had this yearning to take better self-portraits. I think that's something I've been trying to grow on while I'm in self-isolation, because I'm the easiest subject to take a picture of. And I just had this idea to use this cloth I had bought. And it kind of goes along with my color scheme. I think a lot of my photographs have like a similar color scheme of like green, yellow, and deep and deep blues. So I just thought it would be a beautiful way to capture my hair along with the texture of the cloth and the chair. But the meaning behind it was a little bit more into how I was reflecting upon the rising of photographers and the decline kind of these people who haven't had the exposure that they deserve.
Right.
So I kind of was putting my back to those who were shutting certain photographers and certain artists out in regards to people who are marginalized and kind of opening the door to people who are willing and accepting of expanding their brand.
Wow, I really like all the thought that you put into your work. It's really incredible, and it's really refreshing to hear at such a young age. You have a very bright future ahead of you, Layla. And it's just wonderful. I love that. I love that self-portrait. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, what about this one, please?
Sure. My sister had recently got married.
Okay.
And she decided to do a Zoom wedding.
So, the age of COVID, right?
Yeah, right. So we actually had it at home. And so we were getting ready in the living room. And she still got already with like the dress and like, you know, all the regular stuff, like the bouquet and everything. But this is just a photograph of her and her best friend getting her hair ready. And I just thought that the colors were beautiful and the contrast between her best friend being completely ready and my sister still kind of getting her stuff together. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then we're going to show another one here, the last one. And this one, I know you're going to.
Sure.
Do a photograph in it?
Yeah. Can you repeat the question?
Oh, absolutely. Just talk to us about each photo that I've been showing about your work. Yeah. I just wanted to give you carte blanche, as we say, to elaborate on your work. It's your show.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the Afropunk Festival, and if anyone's familiar with Afropunk, mm-hmm. they're all Black-based creative festival in Brooklyn annually. Unfortunately, it was canceled this year, but yeah. This was back in 2017.
Yeah.
And they always have this huge banner that says no sexism, no racism, etc. And I just caught this couple hugging each other while they're watching a performance. And I just thought it was a beautiful background of all these labels of just hatred in the midst of love that we can see.
Absolutely. I always have wanted to go to Afropunk, and I haven't been there yet, but I have a good friend of mine who's actually the sister of the New York City Parks Commissioner, Mitchell Silver. Mm-hmm. His sister, Janine, who I grew up with. God bless you, Janine. I love you. She's amazing. She goes to all the Afropunk festivals.
Yeah.
And she takes great photos. So it must be quite the event.
It's a beautiful atmosphere. It's very, very beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I want to go. Hopefully post-pandemic, well, I'll get to go again. It shows you never wait on things, always get to things sooner rather than later. So, okay. Well, thank you very much, Layla. We're going to move to Adam now. Adam Harshmesh. Adam, we're going to have you talk about your photography. Talk to us about when you do portraits like this, Adam.
So this was part of an assignment that I got to do environmental portraits, where basically I have to talk about a person and include them basically in an environment that I think would fit the story that I'm trying to tell. Unfortunately, I didn't have a whole lot of ways to tell the story of my friend who is seen here. Basically, she came to New York to be a wrestler, as it may not seem from the picture where she's all dressed up in a in all black and in a tie. I just kind of wanted to tell the opposite of that. I wanted to show someone who came here to be a wrestler in a more in a more subtle and cold way, rather than, you know, the excitement that you get from watching.
Captured a wrestling it wonderfully.
Show.
I love the background. I love the mood, the whole fashion setup and everything, the styling. Briefly, when you're doing these portraits, are you bringing a stylist along with you? Are you having themselves style them? You work at when you're doing portraits.
Unfortunately, I'm very. I don't have a whole lot of access to industry colleagues who can help me with styling and such. So I mostly rely on either clothing that I bring from home to the photo shoot, or to clothing that the models have. And for this particular one, I just wanted to do kind of a sort of noir shoot, kind of to give noir vibes.
Right.
With this photo shoot, so I only brought the jacket and the tie, and the model, who thankfully has a lot of experience with photography herself, has just brought herself.
Okay. No, because I know at FIT, you know, there's so many, everybody's about fashion. So, I mean, I love sitting outside of the school as in the nice weather and watching everybody come by. It's like one giant fashion show. I love it. I love it dearly. It's my favorite thing to do besides teach you guys, is sit outside and watch everybody come to school and leave school. It's amazing. So thank you, Adam. We're going to move on to another photo here. Talk to us about these, Adam, briefly, because, wow, I mean, you did these, you know, these triptychs, you know, these collages of streets in New York City during the pandemic. I worked in Times Square for years at the New York Times, and wow, this photo just blows me away, the way you did this.
Thank you. Yeah, so this one I was more excited about that I shot throughout the semester.
Yeah.
Basically, I wanted to show New York in a different light, because everyone, when you think about New York, you associate it with people constantly walking places really fast and the busyness of it all. So when the pandemic struck and Cuomo told everyone to stay indoors, I decided to go out. Obviously, when it's safe, with a mask. I'm sorry, what?
Hold on, Adam. I think we froze. Go ahead. I think we're good now. Go ahead.
Okay. So while everyone was staying indoors, I decided to use the opportunity to go outside, and obviously with a mask and with gloves and taking all the safety precautions, I decided to go out and shoot triptychs of New York that kind of show it as a what-if situation. What if New York is kind of a desolate apocalypse after just a huge pandemic that struck? What happens when the city that never sleeps go to sleep? And a small detail that I decided to include with it is kind of a yellow tint throughout all of the images to kind of give the feeling of a disease, because we are dealing with a very serious disease. And I feel that it's very easy to discount it because you don't really see it. But once you look at it, once you subtextually feel a little sick from seeing the image, maybe it gets the message across a little better. All right.
I had an internet problem over here. My Wi-Fi, something really wigged out on us here, so I had to reload Mac. Adam, I presume that everybody got to hear that. If you wanted to talk a little more, though, about it, feel free. I'm sorry.
I actually, after you dropped, I just kept talking about the image. So I'm pretty sure.
Very good. Well, you know, also, folks, you have to understand, these are my students who also, halfway through the semester at FIT, I actually started teaching them this platform of StreamYard and live streaming. And we did probably about a good 5 weeks worth of work on this. And they did their final projects on doing a live stream, a recorded live stream that I got to observe and look over. They did great. And so Adam knows, keep talking if all else fails. Good job, man. Good job. All right, so let's move on to the next photo here. And by the way, This is our my co-producer Jonathan Borstein's neighborhood of Union Square. So tell us about this, Adam.
Yeah, so Union Square was also part of the same series. I also tried to give it a slightly yellowish tint, like the rest of the photos, to kind of give a sickening feeling of a disease. But shooting in Union Square was actually more complex than shooting at Times Square, as hard as it may be to believe. Basically, I showed up at Union Square about three times, where two of the times I showed up in the morning at around 10 a.m. and it was bustling with people and was just very hard to send across a message of an empty New York. And another time was around 5 p.m. when it was extremely hot outside, but again, people were still outside. So I had to wake up really early. I woke up at around 4 a.m. and then I got to Union Square and I waited for the sun to come up. And then I basically shot this triptych. I wasn't able to completely not have people in the shot, as you may be able to see in some of the near the buildings that are in the distance.
Okay.
But I also wanted to take a place that's usually bustling with people, that's very beautiful, and just show it again as empty, kind of desolate, what happens
the day
after everyone goes back indoors.
Well, you did a great job with all of them, and I really love this work. And as a New Yorker, as a born and bred New Yorker, all of these photos of New York resonate with me tremendously, as many people who have visited here even, because I mean, who ever thought we would see the streets so empty, you know, and desolate? I mean, the Times Square one just—I may have to buy this one from you.
it's definitely up for sale.
Okay, well, I may have to buy this one from you, so consider it a sale, because we'll have to talk in the near future, because I probably want this hanging in my home. It's tremendous. Who would think? I mean, Times Square like this. So let's get to some comments and any questions real quick before we go on to our three other students here, including Jackie, Joshua, and Logan, just so we can make sure that everybody is being heard. And that we're looking at everybody's comments. So let's see. We will go to this one. That triptych, hold on one second. That triptych could be a publicity still for the book Severance, Paula Kiger says. So that's an interesting comment and very true. Let's see what else we have. Nancy Lewis had said the city that never sleeps. We have a bunch of other comments here. Incredible photo series. Linda Takara says beautiful photos. Thank you, Linda. The students appreciate that. Edward says amazing. Your image separation of Times Square and other works into separate images creates an individual architectural element beyond the buildings we see, making a stronger impact. Wow, that is quite the compliment and very, very true. Thank you, Edward. The photos make a statement, Linda says. They do, and thank you for that. Just so many great comments. So let's move on here now to our next set of photos, and we're going to go to Jackie. Jacqueline Valenti, my student. So let's go here to Jackie's photos, and let's go to the first one that I found this morning on your site, and I threw it in here because I loved it. And what a photo this is from one of my favorite places in New York City, Chinatown. Talk about this.
Yeah. So before the pandemic started in February, I was in Chinatown every single day because there's a place that develops film. I'm not sure what it's called. I forgot what street it's on, so I can't plug it right now, but they're the best. It's $10 to develop rolls of 35 millimeter film. They scan it and send it to you the next day. They're the best. Just had to say that, but I was there every day because I was taking photos and then I had to go get them developed. And there was just one night where I asked my boyfriend to walk in front of me, and I just took that photo on my iPhone and edited it.
It is stunning. I love it. It's you know, it's interesting because you said you took this pre-pandemic, right? So that's the interesting thing, because the minute I saw this, I thought post-pandemic. Now,
seeped into our mentality.
I just want you to be clear. The mentality, when I look at this, well, it's so funny how a pandemic can affect us. Deanna says she loves this one because that's what I thought. So, but beautiful photo. It can be a book cover, as a couple of viewers said already. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. So let's move on here and talk about some of your final project work in photography for the photography department, and talk to us about some of your collages here and what you worked on. I'll come in on a tight one here for a minute and go back and forth a little. So go ahead, please.
So these are called dream joiners. It's using a method called joiners, which is basically taking a bunch of photos at like the same focal length and just editing them together to try and create one photo, basically. And this was our final project for my photography class. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do three photos from inside because we were quarantined. And I've lived in this apartment in Queens for my entire life, 18 years. And it's a really old apartment. Things are like falling off the hinges. Some rooms just don't have doors anymore. It's crazy. There are holes in the ceiling. And I've never photographed my apartment because I don't find it like beautiful or pretty. So I was trying to find a way to challenge myself and photograph my apartment for the first time in like a really interesting way. So what I did was I used one colored light bulb and a desk lamp from Target, and I just set it up, and I also used the flashlight on my phone and I covered it with a blue gel, and I just took photos from a bunch of different angles. I kept moving the light, so that's how I lit the entire photograph, because every photo would have been taken with one tiny little light, and then I just put it together. So I wanted to kind of create the sense of like a fragmented dream, that feeling you get maybe when you like wake up in the middle of the night and you're not sure if you're dreaming, because that's how I feel sometimes when I wake up to like get a glass of water and everything's just like mixed up in my head. So that's what I was trying to do with these photos.
Okay, well, you did it beautifully, and I'm sure your professor was very impressed with them. They're great. I mean, look at all the work put into this to put together you know, this project. So bravo on that, Jackie. Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo. So now we're going to let's move on to the next set, and that is Joshua. So Joshua, we're going to get to your work now, and we're going to start with a portrait that you did. So talk to us about your work, Joshua.
My initial start in photography, I want to say a big influence came from fashion and more just like street culture, pop-up shop culture, like that kind of aesthetic. So this photo happened when I went to a pop-up shop, and when you go to pop-up shops, like usually people will stop and like ask you to take pictures of them because they're wearing like nice clothes, like this man is here in the photo.
Right.
Yeah, it was simply just he stopped me and asked me to take a couple pictures, and this was my favorite one that came out of the set.
Okay. I love it. And, you know, pop-up shops are really popular, pardon the pun, but I remember walking down Union Square pre-pandemic and the meat market, I mean, and there are many, many stores along between 10th and 11th Avenue there now that are these pop-up stores. And they're really fun to hang around because you never know what's going to go on with the pop-up stores, you know?
Yeah.
So no, but wonderful work. Let's move on here. Oh, I love this. So talk to us about doing this.
Okay. So this was my first ever. Well, this was a triptych that I made for school. The assignment was strictly just to make a triptych.
Okay.
I got in the studio not really knowing what I wanted to do. I just saw that my friend Ashley here, she had makeup on. No, I wanted her to do a look. And just to make it interesting, she usually does very interesting makeup looks. I've seen her do a lot. So that's where the makeup came from. And then when I was taking the photos, I kind of wanted to go for a psychedelic feel. how the eye, how there's multiple eyes staring at you.
Right. And
wanted to be very intimidating, but at the same time, somewhat omniscient, like something ethereal about it or something otherworldly.
Right, right, right.
That's what I was really going for.
Okay. Well, it's a wonderful job on that one. And then let's have you talk about it. Now, this one really grabbed me because I do a Just Look Up series. I think I've told you guys during the semester, one of my things is walking around anywhere I go and doing these extreme angles of buildings, of scenery. And this spoke to me big time because this is my Just Look Up teaching method to people. So talk to me about this. I love the angle and I love the light and the buildings.
Thank you. So this is one of the first photographs I've ever taken. Like, I think I took this in 2016, like when I was maybe 14, 15. But yeah. I was just sitting in my parents' car. We were waiting for my brother. He went into the city for something. He was in a building, but I was sitting in the car waiting. And like geometric shapes are something that always really stands out to me, like, and architecture. So I was just looking at like the shadows and the triangles it was forming and just the way the buildings like were kind of plastered onto the mm-hmm. sky, almost mm-hmm. like a drawing. So yeah, it kind of just happened.
Well, it really is an incredible way of capturing architecture. And I keep teaching people that in seminars I give, in workshops I give with students. You know, when you just look up and just look down at things, Melanie Gaffney says, very cool angle, really love this photo. So that's a big compliment. Tim saying just look up, and a lot of other comments coming in, but it really gives you a whole new perspective on things, especially when you get really low. And I've even gone so far as to lie down on the street and sidewalks and take photos. You know, I don't recommend that to everybody, but it is you can get walked on in New York City. But maybe during the pandemic, it's a little easier because it's, you know, not as many people out. But also, you know, you don't want to be lying down on the streets during a pandemic. So anyway, but wonderful work, Joshua. Wonderful work. So we're going to move on now to Logan. And we are going to start with this, Logan. I'm going to remove some people from the screen, which I'm going to try doing with a few things here. So Logan can talk, and then we'll bring everybody else back on. Logan, talk to us about your work here.
Yeah, so this right here was a photo from Nike that I did for Nike for the release of the Travis Scott Air Force One that dropped about, I think it was last spring. Yeah, so last spring of 2019. This was for Dorian Kirkwood, who runs a media company in DC called Crown Media that does a lot of the app work for Nike. A lot of design work for Nike. So this was a pretty significant photo because he runs a Nike affiliated brand, and they just gave him a shoe like, hey, you're one of our influencers, please shoot the shoe. And I just happened to be doing work for him at the time, so he was like, yo, come out here and please do these photos for me. So that's how I got to work through Nike, and now I'm hopefully working with them on another project, hopefully between this year and next year, which will be really fun because they're my dream client.
Okay, well, go for it. That's what I say. Always go for it. The question I have for you, Logan, is doing all this work, do you scout your locations? Do you walk around a lot looking for them, or do you find them as you're out with your subjects? How do you go about that?
I am constantly scouting locations using my phone. So like I'll be out. Everything I do in my day for the most part is centered around like my job in photography. So even when I'm just like walking around, I'm like taking pictures always, so trying to find different locations. I'm like marking the times in like different street corners and taking pictures of like just street corners where like it says the two streets, just so I can like know where certain spots were. Yeah, so I kind of have a lot of Brooklyn and Manhattan and some of the South Bronx like mapped out just for photography spots that I use.
Okay, well, they're beautiful images. Great work with the lighting, by the way. And talk to us about this one when you're doing some concert photography. Of course, we don't have any concerts right now, but you have done a lot of these. I've seen your work. Talk to us about, you know, briefly about doing concerts like this. And you captured this magnificently with the crowd, that moment. I feel I'm right there with them.
So this photo actually has a deep significance to me because I actually have a tattoo for the artist this is for. Everyone right here, this is at Rolling Loud in 2019, which Rolling Loud is a hip-hop festival. It's kind of like the new Warped Tour, how Warped Tour was the kind of like the pop punk tour that went around in America, the Rolling Loud is that for hip hop. So this was during, I believe, the Smoke Perp set. They were putting up the X sign for XXX Antacion, who recently passed. He was one of the artists that inspired a lot of my work as well, a lot of my poetry work. I actually have a tattoo on the back of my neck that's dedicated to him. Everyone was just putting up the X symbol right here to help just remember his death. That was early. This photo actually has a lot of significance to me.
Okay, well, that's a really important story for you to share with everybody. And it shows, that we're a part of our work when we're doing it. I mean, we immerse ourselves in the subject matter. Many of us are big fans of some of the people we work with, too. Of course, we have to separate that at times when we're doing certain types of work. But with this type of work, music and concerts and stuff, I'm sure you get heavily into the scene. And with the artists, I know you have. I've seen your work. And, great job at capturing them. Now we're going to go to the next photo, which is something that I really was looking forward to talking to you about and hearing from you about more than talking to you about it. I was blown away when I saw this photo. It also makes me take a deep breath and causes a lot of emotion. And I'm sure for you, it does a whole, world of that too. So talk to us about it, Logan.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, one of the things that I focused on was like when the protests were first starting, they were blowing up all across New York City as I was going around photographing the protests. And this is right at Barclays Center, which I live 30 minutes from. So I ran over there the second I heard that there was a protest going on. Mm-hmm. 2,000 police actually showed up to stomp that protest. As you can see in the background, there's police all in the background. Right. There was thousands of them.
Right.
And there's this group of kids that they were they had came up and they wrote they had made this piece of political art with the American flag. They put "I can't breathe" and they were standing in front of the cops so they couldn't move forward. And I just captured that moment of them peacefully protesting against those thousands, that whole army of cops behind them.
Well, Logan, I have edited photos from photographers from around the world for years at the New York Times, and I have done my fair share of editing of some of the top images in the world over the historical period that I was at the Times for 20 years. I have to tell you, this photo is just between the stop sign with the hand up, the flag, "I can't breathe," the light behind it, the gentleman holding it up in front of all the police silhouetted in the background. You nailed it. And I have to tell you, was this published anywhere?
No, I didn't get, I'm kind of just sitting on a lot of those photos. I don't know where to put them or who to send them to. So if anyone has a direction, I have all these unpublished photographs that aren't even on social media, really. Some of them are just on my website and that's it. So
yeah, no, we need to talk about that after the show, because this photo needs to go out to some outlets, even though it's not now. It's the evening and the week has passed. The moment has not passed and it will not pass. And we, with the movement and everything else that we are for justice in this country. So anyway, magnificent photo. I'm going to bring everybody else back on right here. I wanted to bring everybody. So we're going to go on to some other work as well. But brilliant work, everyone. I'm so glad that we were able to go through a lot of it. What we want to do now is I'm going to stop sharing the screen for a minute. I'm going to bring everybody back on full like this. And Jonathan is popped in the screen here. I forgot to take him off, but say hello, Jonathan. This is Jonathan Borstein, everybody. He's muted himself, so okay, I'm going to take him off. Jonathan wanted the students to be the full focus, so I brought him on by mistake right there. So he is my co-producer and just a great, great individual to work with, a good friend, a dear friend. So Michelle says, is that your sister or who is that? Who is that, Adam?
That's my mom. Thanks.
Oh, your mom. Wow. Oh, my God. Your mom looks so young. She's amazing. I'm sorry, Mom, that's a compliment. So anyway, hello. Hello. Nice to have you here. Tim Sohn says, Jonathan Borstein, where is your hat? Tim, you're funny. Okay. Any other comments that we can show while we have everybody up here before we move on to some more questions? Everybody, we're here with my students from FIT, the School of Art and Design, who are all photography majors. My name is Stefan Kaplan. I am a social media and visual strategist and the creator and host of the Spin It Social Hour, where we are telling the stories of photographers around the world every week, their stories, their work, so that hopefully you'll get to know them better. And as this pandemic continues and hopefully subsides one day, you will give them more work and we can help them all. Wow. Hello from Israel. Wow. What a great career. We have an international crowd once again, and I love it. Adam's blushing. I see him blushing. It's wonderful to have mom on. That's wonderful. Okay.
Awesome. I love it.
That's awesome. I know, exactly. So, and thank you everybody for sharing this broadcast with your crowd. That is the key to amplifying these photographers' names and their work. Please hit share. Please let everybody know about this broadcast. We are actually broadcasting to Facebook Live, Twitter Live, and YouTube all at the same time right now. So YouTube is a new channel that I'm streaming to. And I also have all 15 previous episodes of the Spin It Social Hour on YouTube now with some phenomenal photographers. And this one will be up there too now. But let's get to some of the other questions that I wanted to get to here. And we're going to scroll down here. So I'm so impressed by the political action amongst FIT students, everyone. What causes are you passionate about right now, and what are you doing to make change happen around you? Let's start with in order here. Let's go back to Logan, since we started ended with your photo of the protest and the I Can't Breathe on the American flag, one of the most powerful photos I've seen lately. Talk to us, Logan, about this question, please. Logan, can you hear us?
I'm just thinking. Give me 1 second.
Oh, no problem. No problem. You froze up a bit, so go ahead.
So I, as a African American male, when I saw the George Floyd video, it just like it activated me. I was able to, I just wanted to tell the story of like what was happening around me in New York City, and like I was really like motivated to like be a part of the movement and everything, be a part of something that hopefully was just going to force change to happen in the country. So that was what.
Okay.
Also, I was working on a little design project called Ill Defined, where I photographed 50 different black men, and I had them wrote like what defines you as a human being to show that like we aren't defined by the stereotypes that many other people try to put on us. Right. I never actually released that project, but I'm thinking about releasing it very soon because it is a finished product right now. So that will hopefully be released in the next month or two or three.
Okay.
But yeah, I've just always been someone who's been somewhat politically involved and trying to start discussions in my work.
Okay, well, that is great. And that is really great to hear and really important to hear. I'm glad that you're focused on it. We applaud your efforts. I applaud your efforts. And I'm thankful for you being out there documenting this so that the injustices and that the other things that are happening in this country and this world are brought to the foreground for people to understand more and more about. And I personally thank you deeply for your work. Layla, let's talk to you about this question, because I know you've done extensive work with the LGBTQ community and many others, and you talked a little about that earlier, but now let's focus a little more on this question about what causes you're passionate about right now, and also what you do to help make change happen around you.
Sure. So recently, and once all the injustices kind of came to light, there's been a lot of talk about the diversity within institutions, like art institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of my work and a lot of my grounding comes from doing programs in art institutions, I joined forces and I'm starting to intern with the Black School, which is a program here in Harlem.
Mm.
And they do They're like a Black radical art school, okay. And they include art history within their graphic design programs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing social media. I'm actually doing social media directing for them right now, in the drive of their campaign. Yeah. So
that's great. You know, I came across that site the other night, and it's called the Black School. You said, mm-hmm. correct?
Right.
And you know, I was just really, really, you know, impressed and caught by it. And, you know, it's wonderful that you're involved with that. And I know you're very proactive. And I'm going to mention that school to a friend of mine when, the show is done, who's doing a new, he's putting together a new, production called, Harlem America. Mm-hmm. And his name is G. Keith Alexander. He is a very big radio personality who's been out there for a while, and I will mention that to him. So talk to us about some of the other work, too, Layla, that you've done.
Sure. So about for, like, the past month, that's kind of all I've been directing my efforts towards because it's a campaign effort.
Okay.
So we're raising about like $300,000 to build this school in New Orleans. So a lot of my effort has been towards archiving photography to share on their social media platforms. And because that's such a personal effort of mine and something I'm really passionate about, I'm directing all of my effort towards them as well as working on one project I'm working on. I could briefly just explain it. It's called Still My Sister, which is...
How about I put it up on the screen for you? How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's great. Is that the website?
That is the website. Yes.
Yeah. So they're built into three kind of ecosystems, which is a school, a studio, and a shop. And so the school is basically them doing workshops where they use... pretty big like history images from throughout the radical revolutions of Black leaders and mix that into a graphic design platform for their students. Mm-hmm. And so luckily I was able to participate in their Black school studio last year in the Bronx at the Bronx Museum of Arts. And it was a great campaign. We worked on designing the poster for the anti-gun initiative. We founded this campaign in efforts of everything in the hopes that people would be more accepting of.
Okay, well, I wanted to...
Contributing to this cause.
Hold on one second. I don't know why it's not coming up. Hold on one second. Oh, it's coming up as a separate... It's coming up as a separate tab. So hold on one second. I want to...
Yeah.
Sorry. I want everybody to see this. Yeah. So here's a... Let everybody know about this fundraiser for this. Mm-hmm. On the GoFundMe page. So find that, folks. I'm going to actually take a second here. And I'm going to actually go into my StreamYard thing here, and I'm going to actually give me one second. I want to do this so it's there. And we're going to put the Black School. This is how quickly we can do things in StreamYard. And we're going to show that, and we're going to create a little quick little ticker for it and do... Whoops, hold on one second. I'm going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to, one second here. There we go. And there we go. So while you're talking about it now, we can show that. So finish talking about this. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to give that to you guys.
No, yes, definitely. But honestly, a lot of what we learned from your class has influenced a lot of the ways I navigate their social media channels. So I do a lot of analytic work every single day, tracking likes and comments and follows. And okay. we built the following count a lot. So although I am a photographer, I also dab into the visual arts as a whole within the New York City community. And as you can see, expanding.
Okay. Well, listen, I thank you so much for expanding on all of that. It's wonderful that we got to put this out there for everybody to know. And I am blushing inside and out. I don't know if it's showing. And also honored that you had mentioned that you learned so much during our semester together. Mm-hmm. I really thought we had a great group, and it was so, insightful. I learned a lot from you guys too. I mean, there were certain tricks with Instagram and other things. I mean, you guys are in the foreground, with all of the social media too. So there's some platforms that even I'm not on. That I have yet to figure out the demographic for myself on certain things. But the point is that, as I always taunt you guys throughout the semester, you don't need to be on every platform. Find the ones that you're most passionate about. Find the ones that work well for your brand and emphasize everything on those platforms, correct?
Right.
So thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it. So let's move on here now. Let me stop sharing the screen, and let's go to Joshua. Joshua, let's put the question back up so this way you remember. Oops, sorry, wrong question. Joshua, talk to us about this. I know that a lot of FIT students are very involved with things. What causes are you passionate about, and what are you doing to make change happen around you?
Like Logan said, the George Floyd murder, and not even just George Floyd, but the police murders of just people like Elijah McClain and Breonna Taylor have inspired me to get up and go to protests.
Right.
I was documenting them, but after a while, it was like you either have to document the whole time or you could participate. Like, it's very, well, at least for me, it's very inconvenient to do both. So after shooting about the first two, after I was just there walking, shouting, with the people. And then my friends and I, we run an art page called Red Phosphorus. And right now we're working on putting out posters in order to raise money for the Yemen relief. Because I feel
for the,
like,
what, for the what relief?
For Yemen relief.
Yemen relief?
Yeah, okay. For the children who are starving. That's definitely a cause that I feel just doesn't have as much mainstream media attention, because it's with the police murders, that's everything happening in our own country. But at the same time, there's kids who I feel like, I don't want to say one struggles worse than the other, but at the same time, like, starving as a child is, I feel like, another really important cause that needs money and needs attention. So that's what,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
We're able to sell at least 10 posters. And we'll be able to put all the funds toward the
Yemen. Joshua, what is the site real quick, please?
Oh, it's on Instagram, it's red.phosphorus. I'd say we're a small online publication. We make zines, not monthly, but periodically. And then we also keep a blog on our Instagram, all directed toward arts. I run the photography portion. My friend Max, he does poetry.
Okay.
And there's two other girls. One does graphic design and the other one does most of the illustrations.
Is this it right here?
Yeah, that's the Instagram page.
And okay. I had everything set except this for you guys and the Black School for Layla. So I'm glad we got to show that. And I wanted to show this real quick too, because of what you said. I mean, it's wonderful. So incredible, the work that you're doing to help raise money, for starving children in Yemen and other places. And like you said, it's not about one cause over the other. We can't all attach ourselves to every cause. So talk to us just a brief more moment now that I have this up while I show a couple of things.
More about the posters or more about
let's see if we can find one of the posters right here.
The poster that we're doing, it's an old design that we did. It's at the bottom of the page if you want to.
Okay.
It's called How to Make Ink.
Let's see if I can get there real quick. You guys have a lot of stuff up here.
You can scroll up a little bit.
Okay. I'm willing to take the moment here to find it.
Oh, right there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so we have a poster design centered around this poem. Should be 8.5 by 11, and we're printing samples right now, but once we get everything, like everything looks just how we wanted, we should have it. Hopefully by next week, we should start promoting it.
Okay. So let's read what you have here. We have kept this one hidden for a while, so we hope you guys enjoy it. It was certainly a process to make this, especially learning how to format for Instagram. We hope that you would get to be involved in the process making. We hope you express yourself freely regardless of, and sorry, I'm going to move this down a little here to get to the rest. Regardless of the results, get yourself into the world. You deserve that. Wow. I like that. I like that. Well, thank you for sharing about that, Joshua. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So find that online, folks, Red Phosphorus on Instagram. And let's move on now to Jackie. So Jackie, I'm going to put the question back up for you so we can go over it again. As I said, there's so much political action amongst FIT students. What causes are you passionate about right now, Jackie, and what are you doing to make change happen around you?
So a cause that I'm passionate about right now is obviously the Black Lives Matter movement. It's impossible to not be a part of that right now. Right. I think that everyone needs to be going to donate. If you don't have money, amplify the voices of Black creators, mm-hmm. their work, put mm-hmm. that into the world, and go to protests if you can. My mother and I have been going, sorry about that. My mother and
don't
I
don't worry about it.
To protests and donating. It's just something we're really passionate about. My mother is an African American woman, so I'm half Black, and it's about my family, about my friends, about everyone around me. And as someone who is white passing, I make it my duty to ensure that the Black people around me are being just amplified and loved, and it's amazing. So I love the Black Lives Matter movement. But other than that, I've been creating a magazine during quarantine to put artwork out there for people who need a place to publish it, basically. So it's called Valentine Magazine, and I feature artwork from about 12 different artists. People have submitted songs, videos, photographs, paintings, drawings. I accept all kind of artwork. And the first issue just came out today on my website. That's what I've been doing.
Okay. Well, I think that, everybody should know about everybody's website. One of the things that I'm going to go back and actually show Layla's. Layla, do not think I will forget you. I would never do that. But you know what? While we're talking about all these things, we should quickly just give a glimpse. So I'm going to do that for everybody. Let's take this off. This is the site, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So tell everybody once again quickly what they can do if they go to this site.
So if you go to jacketvalentine.com/zine, you can look at the first issue that just came out. Everything is there, but you can also submit any artwork to future issues and also apply to become an editor and get involved with the graphic designing and layout process of making a magazine.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So, okay. So let's go to Adam, and then I will show everybody's website, anybody that I haven't. So do not worry. It's all about you guys, this whole show. And I think we've been steering it pretty well. So Adam, talk to us about the question about the political action amongst FIT students. We know there's so much. What causes are you passionate about, and what are you doing to help make change happen around you?
Well, let me start off by saying just like what everyone's been saying about what they've been doing has just been, it's really overwhelming. It's very great work what you're all doing. I can't help but also feel a little jealous because personally I've never been much of a political person, and due to circumstances that I have family who depend on me, I wasn't able to go out to protest out of the fear of either getting arrested or getting infected because I have people around me who are immunocompromised. But what I have been trying to do is occasionally I will share, I try to like spread out the word about stuff that people can do for anyone who's affected by the injustice that's been going on. And personally, I've also had I mean, I can't really call it a personal because recently there was the whole thing where ICE wanted to deport a lot of international students due to the pandemic and not being able to learn in person. So it was very weird to feel a little bit like in the crosshairs of to feel in the crosshairs for the first time in my life. And I can't imagine what other people who feel like that every day must be going through. So I try to spread the word.
We all do our part one way or the other. And that is one thing that I really admire about so many people these days, between social media, between the internet, between being out there if we can, given our situations, whether we have people who are, immune compromised and other things in our lives and we have to protect them that way. That's totally understood and understandable. We have to be careful. But I'm so, thankful to hear these thoughts from you guys. I wanted to give you each the spotlight to be able to talk about that for a minute or two because it's really important. And we have to continue to push forward so that we make sure that all of this stays in the foreground and never, ever stays in the background anymore. So thank you for all of your work on all of this. We will get back to some other sites and Instagram handles in a bit. Hold on one second. So let's see if we have any comments and any questions that we still need to go over. Let's make sure that we have anything. I see we have some down here at the bottom. So Diana asks, a good friend of mine asks, what are some of your favorite tips? I guess she probably means about photography. Let's ask that real quick. A couple of tips real quick about photography. Let's start with Logan. Logan, a couple of quick favorite tips on photography?
I'd say some tips would be shoot every day. Do not only consume media from don't only consume like social media for inspiration. I like use a lot of photo books. So, like I have Craig McDean's photo book right here, and I have Richard Avedon's photo book right here, and I read these like a lot. And like Alice, like Boys Don't Cry by Frank Ocean. And I just I feel like reading print media helps a lot.
You have to speak up. You're breaking up.
Are you in ways that everyone else is scared?
Okay. So one of the main things you say is shoot every day. I'm a big advocate of that. Taking pictures every day.
More for me than anything else. Well,
okay. Okay. Layla, a couple of tips from you on that you would tell anybody taking pictures these days off the top of your head.
I would say try to experiment as much as possible with every shoot. You don't want to leave a shoot not having enough frames that you really liked or that you tried something new on. So I would just say that.
Okay. Joshua, a couple of tips off the top of your head for photographers out there or people who are looking to take more pictures.
One, shoot every day. Like my peers have also said, bring your camera everywhere because I learned that there's just too many times where you see a photo but you don't actually have the camera and can't take it, so it's like missed out on
the
moment. And then just making sure you focus, like I'd say fill up the frame of what you like. Like let's say if you're taking a photo of a chair, like make sure the chair covers the frame. Like really try to get up and in up close and personal with the subject.
There you go.
Detail and it'll really like tell a better story.
There you go. I like that. Yeah, absolutely. Besides shoot a day every day, which I agree with everybody, always be taking pictures, always just create, as I say. But also make sure that you get up close to your subjects and you know, not always stand way back and always use zoom lenses, get up close, get to know your subjects and the detail in them. And let's move on to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, a couple of ideas on photography for the crowd at large in terms of, you know, any two top tips from you.
I would definitely say take your time, because one thing that I struggled with when I began as a photographer was I would get a shot that I like and maybe like take a bunch of frames of the same shot and then move on to the next one. But in a way where I was just like filling up my SD card with things that were unnecessary when I could have just taken my time to like really curate nice shots of what I want. So I definitely think that learning to slow down and take my time with everything helped my photography. But another thing is that whenever I'm taking a photo, I consider taking 5 steps back before I take the photo.
Okay.
And sometimes I add something to it. That was a tip from Professor Jessica Nguyen. I remember that one. But that one helped me out a lot.
Okay, I like that. I like that. And repeat the professor's name again.
Jessica Nguyen.
Jessica Nguyen or Nguyen?
Nguyen, W-Y-N-N-E. She's a photography professor.
Okay, okay. I hope to get to know her now that I'm at FIT. Well, that's a great tip. I really like that one about taking 5 steps back. And, you know, that's great. So, I went a little out of order here. So we got to Logan. We got to Layla. Adam, your a couple of top tips from you in terms of photography that somebody asked about.
Well, a personal pet peeve of mine in photography is just unnecessary dead space, where I see someone taking a picture of someone else next to a wall, and there's just a lot of the wall and less of the subject. So unless there's a purpose to it, it kind of irks me.
Right.
But a very important lesson that I actually picked up this semester from also from a photography professor, Ron Amato, is always ask yourself why. Why are you doing something very specific in your photograph? Why are you shooting in black and white? Why are you adding a certain color tint over your photograph? Why are you keeping certain subjects in focus and certain subjects out of focus? Basically, yeah. Know exactly what you're doing and don't do it just because it looks cool.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Great tips, everybody. Great tips. So we have a bunch of Julia Weeks is here. Wow. Hello, Julia. Julia was wondering the same thing. It's wonderful to have Julia here. Julia is actually a photo editor at AP Images. So Diana says, I can't do that when I'm on my stand-up paddle. Good tip, though. She does a lot of paddling on what are those boards called that you put in the water and you stand up on? I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, she does a lot of stuff on the water, so I guess it's hard for her to take pictures like that. She takes some great pictures out on lakes and everything. So let's see. Anything else here? Paula says this is also fascinating. All of it, but the black school in particular right now. Thank you, Paula, for mentioning that again. Yes, that was a really interesting institution and thing to learn about. I'm glad that we got to show off the GoFundMe page for that, too. So let me just check one more thing. So we went through everybody. Let me see if Logan is back. He had lost, I think, some connection. Logan, are you there? And we have somebody else from Israel here. That's wonderful to see. So we have a very, very international crowd. Anyway, let's get to a couple of the final questions here. Really, the one that I want to get to and we'll close the show out with. What are your thoughts? And I'm going to put it up here. What are your thoughts about social media, which we did a whole semester on, and using it to share your work? Layla, let's start with you. Talk to me about that. What are your thoughts about social media? and using it to share your work?
I found a lot of connections and friendships from social media. I think it's boosted a lot of organizations that are offline, which I think is the most important thing. So I think that kind of diversifying and selecting what your efforts are towards the people that you follow is the most important thing. And more importantly, tracking what your cause is. Do you want to share your work, or is it solely based on connecting with others? Or is it a combination of both? Right. So just being aware of what your intentions are, I think, are the most important things. But most importantly, just don't be afraid to share what you're doing.
Right, right. Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, we had major discussions about this throughout the semester. And you know my motto, tweet and post with purpose. Everything that you put out there is creating your digital thumbprint. Mm-hmm. Everything you're putting out there has some significance in terms of who you are and what you're putting out there. So do it all with purpose and passion and make sure that carries through. And well taken and well said. Thank you. Adam, let me ask you, what are your thoughts about social media and using it to amplify your work and other things?
I kind of view social media as kind of this scary yet intriguing tool mm-hmm. to use for my work, because it's very easy. Like I can put out something that I shot, and it's also very easy for it to either get a lot of exposure or just go completely under the radar. So it's very much a gamble for me personally every time. It is kind of also a good way to build a network of friends and colleagues. Personally, I'm still trying to build my network. So I'm still trying to connect with people around me to work on collaborations and just get my work out there, and also help other people get their work out there. Mm-hmm. If I eventually get some sort of spread.
Right.
But also, I think my favorite thing about social media is when following certain artists and photographers on Instagram, and then seeing their work and saying, "Wow, that's something very interesting. I never thought about an angle like this or lighting like that." So I like to save it, and it's very nice to have easy access to references and ideas that I might want to do something similar to in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts about that. You know, like I always say, Adam, you know, a little something every week even at least keeps you active on social. We're all busy between being a student, between working full time, between taking care of family. You have a lot on your plate. Well, a lot of us do. But always stay active on it. LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, whatever platforms you deem necessary. But thank you for sharing your thoughts on it. Joshua, let's ask you that question. What are your thoughts about social media and using it to share your work?
I think it's really powerful, especially as like a creative, where like when you're a creative, you don't really like, a business card. If you give somebody a business card, it doesn't really do much. But however, right. like giving somebody your Instagram, it's kind of like giving them the whole, like a little insight of your creative portfolio, as well as a little bit about who you are, at least as mm-hmm. a creative. And mm-hmm. also it's like a really good tool to network with people, find out about opportunities, and especially for building a business.
Definitely. I think, you know, all of you use Instagram very effectively. I'd like all of you, as I said, throughout the semester to learn and keep learning about LinkedIn as young professionals. I think that it's a great, great platform. It's one of the most important platforms, but I know, you know, Instagram is huge, and Instagram is fantastic. I love Instagram. I used it all week to promote stories on you guys with profiles of each of one of you. So thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. Jacqueline, dear, tell us about your thoughts about social media and what you think about using it to amplify your work.
I think that social media is awesome because it allows me to have an opportunity to just put everything out there. And I like to have fun on social media. I like to just be honest and be myself on social media. So I definitely feel like, especially like in the new age of technology, I feel like it's an opportunity for people to market themselves in a new way, because I can just post something and then someone random can share it, and then a whole bunch of people could end up seeing it. And I think that when you're a creator, having that opportunity to have a bunch of people see it and have just one post spark off and do really well is something that's really exciting. And I think it's awesome. It's the best.
Yeah. No, I think that social media used in the right ways is one of the most powerful things we've ever been given. I love being in social media and combining efforts with my visuals. I know you guys do too. I love looking at your feeds on Instagram. We've been advertising them on the bottom here and promoting them all throughout the show. We've been putting up also your websites too. I know we didn't get to every single website, but one of the things that I'm going to do real quick, just as bonus, because I feel that a couple of people got that done, and I wanted to make sure that everybody around has that done, is we're going to quickly show Layla's right here. Just so you know, it's Layla Ann Marie Stevens. You can find her online. So please make sure that you do that. The Adam can be found on Instagram, which is his platform of choice. I know. So we're going to go quickly to Adam's Instagram page just to show it off for a quick second so you know exactly where to find him once again, because we hadn't shown a website. It's Adam to Kill For. We're going to find him. And I love below his name there, because his mom chimed in earlier, and you're darn tootin'. Your mom thinks you're cool. And she is absolutely correct. And it's wonderful that mom chimed in from Israel. I'm thrilled about that. So that's Adam's Instagram. And then we have Joshua's up next. We're going to show that real quick. The reason I didn't have the tabs loaded on everything is that it can drain StreamYard while we're on it and live streaming. So I wanted to make sure that didn't happen, but I'm fast enough to throw it up here. And we're going to show Joshua's site right here. It's Joshua Vilas Photography. So everybody make sure you find Joshua. He has a beautiful site as well. And then we're going to quickly get to Jacqueline as well. And we're going to quickly show that off. Actually, hold on 1 second. Got to go here real quick. And that's right. We showed Valentine Magazine.
Yeah.
So that was good. Okay. And then we're going to quickly go to Logan, because we wanted to quickly show Logan off here, his website. I don't know where he went, but we're going to give him the honor of quickly going to his site. Hold on 1 second here. And it is getting knocked off here for some reason, but we've been showing his website throughout the show. So anyway, everybody, I wanted to say what an honor it was to have everybody on here today. I'm very proud of all of you. It's been an incredible hour and a half. I am thankful for you participating. Please stay in touch. I know we will. We'll see each other around school, hopefully, however, that's going to take place in the fall. We'll all take a deep breath with everything. I want to commend you all for hanging in there throughout the semester and keeping your chins up, being great students in class in social media and photography. And I just want to give you all a big group hug and say thank you for your enthusiasm, for your spirit, and for your love. And thank you, guys. And we have John Schultz here. Sitting in from Paris. Wow, look at that. I'm telling you, we've had people from everywhere. We haven't been able to get to everybody, but John says, enjoying the work and listening to these talented FIT photographers. Wow, thank you, John, for showing up from Paris. Bonjour et merci beaucoup. Okay? So anyway, guys, thank you. I'm going to, keep you all on. Please stay behind the screen for a second. I want to talk to you guys for a minute after this. I'm going to get to some promos that we need to do. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Right there. Okay. So now, folks, we're going to close out real quick. It's been a great hour and a half, but I want to mention a few things in keeping with my practices at the end of the show here. You've been watching the Spin It Social Hour, but I want to talk to you real quick and tell you to please sign up at Muckrack Academy for the fundamentals of social media. And in fact, I encourage all my students to do this. It's an incredible, incredible course with Muckrack Academy. MRAC.co/social with the one and only Sri Srinivasan, who I'm colleagues with, and we work together on our big Digi Mentors group and projects, doing many, many things for many, many big brands out there. So follow Sri, follow Muckrack, sign up at Muckrack for Muckrack Social. I helped produce this course and directed it with Linda Bernstein, our colleague, Word Whacker on Twitter. Please follow Sri and please sign up at Muckrack. The other thing is we have the Sri's Sunday NYT read-along with Matt. Family. And as Sri says, like a bunch of crazy people reading the newspaper every week and talking about the news. And we are the craziest and most enthusiastic about the New York Times. And then finally, I want to bring up She's On Call, a very timely and important show with Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina, with their guests every week talking about the COVID crisis. And please tune into that new show every Sunday. It is as important as anything else out there, folks. And then we're going to get to the big promo for my show, our show next week here on Spin It Social. I am absolutely over the top excited to bring on my old colleague, my friend, somebody I look up to tremendously, who we call Air LaForêt, Vincent LaForêt, the one and only, who hangs from helicopters doing photos of Las Vegas, New York, and everywhere else. He is amazing. I'm thrilled to bring him on. It's quite an honor. Follow him at Vincent LaForêt on Instagram. Please tune in for that one. Please tune in for every show. Every show is special. I've always wanted to talk to Vincent up close about his work since we've departed at the Times, and what a show it's going to be. So I'm going to take that off now for a second, and I am going to put everybody behind the screen here for a second. Whoops. And a lot of people to manage here. But thank you, folks, for being here. I want to just say it's been an incredible time with my students. Please follow them. Please continue to inspire them and get to know them better, and FIT and the School of Art and Design. FIT and the School of Art and Design and everybody involved there, thank you so much. Joan Endres, Corey Blasey, Terry Bloom, thank you, everybody, for helping me promote this show and make it what it was. Anyway, folks, thank you very much for being here. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe and tune in for next week's Spin It Social Hour. Take care. Stefan Kaplan saying goodbye.